What we are going to do now is to make some exam exercise employing the same exam themes which we did use in previous session of the examination. In particular, we now start from this one. This was the exam on wall. I did use also this morning for an exam to one guy, but in reality it was done on 22 June of last year, of past year. There were two exercises that day, exercise 1 and exercise 2. Now this is written in Italian, there is probably also the English version. No, it was just written in Italian. Usually I employ an English test for the exam. In this case, I don't know why, the text of the problem was still written in Italian. It should be in English, so be prepared to the fact that it should be in English. But let me start from this exercise. In this exercise we have an omnidirectional source. Well, one moment, what is this thing here? Look here. A source placed at an height of 1 plus b slash 10. What does this mean? This is the way in which the students should adapt the input number for the problem to his own matricular number. So, the student should write here surname and name and matricula. For example, let me suppose that this matricula number is 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. Just for having a number, you see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oops. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay. This means that A equals 1, B equals 2. Is that an example? Of course you should write here your matricula number, which not necessarily means that the number would be the same. So C is not always 3. C is 3 for this guy with this matricula number. For you it can be different, for she it will be different for her. So the number is personal. So the height of the source in this case will be for me 1 plus b slash 10, that makes 1.2 meters, the height of the source. For another student, perhaps here there is a 7, so the source will be 1 plus 7 slash 10, 1.7 meters. You understand? Be careful when doing this kind of computation. You remember the priority. Multiplication and division come first, addition and subtraction came late. So in this case, you should not make 1 plus b and then divide by 10 the result of the sum. That's wrong. You need first to make b slash 10 and then add 1. You know that. You should know since elementary school this fact. But nevertheless, every year, almost at every exam, some student don't pass the exam because he was not able to compute the input data, because errors in computation of input data. Now, This is not really part of the exam. In fact, what I always tell to the students is, please check with me your input data before solving the problem. You are allowed to ask to the examiner to check the input data at the beginning of your exam. If you don't ask and you make all the computation wrong because based on wrong input data, then it's your fault. Okay? It is allowed to ask confirmation. But if you trust yourself and you don't ask and you don't check the input data, later you cannot complain. I am very strict on this point. It is very easy to make this kind of error. It is allowed to check the input data. If you don't check and the computation is wrong, then for me the results are wrong. The result must be written here, and the points are given if the result don't diverge too much from my one result. You must understand that in engineering there is no exact answer. The exact answer is in other fields, not in acoustics, not in engineering. Perhaps in mathematics or in chemics, I don't know. But in general, in applied science, there is no correct answer. There are only estimates. So I have my one estimate, you make your own estimate. The two estimates, generally speaking, will never be equal. There is something strange if we get exactly the same result. It should not occur. Two engineers should give you two different answers. That's true in general. So, there is tolerance. Every exercise is always specifying the tolerance. If your estimates of the result is different from my answer by less than half a decibel, then you get the score. If your result differs more than the tolerance from my score, from my result, you don't get the score. Okay? This is the general rule. Then there are exceptions, there are cases in which you can get half score. But this is the exception, it's not the rule, so it is not important to understand this now today. Today you need to understand the rule for the examination. There is always time to invent new exceptions, so don't worry about the exception. Worry about the rules. So the first rule is about input data. Input data depends on your matricula number. You have to compute your input data from your matricula number. If you are not sure of the computation, please check with the examiner. Second point, the result must be in the unit specified here. Now, they are all in dB, and here there is no problem. But in this case, for example, the result has to be meter. Okay? If you compute it in millimeter, even if the number is good in your units, here you must comply with the units which are written here. You cannot express the results in your arbitrary units. You need to convert the result in the units which are here. It's part of the exercise. So if you make wrong the unit conversion, again it's an error and you don't get the score. Even if the procedure was correct. Well, one step back. Having the procedure correct, for me, is absolutely of no value. There is no problem in making the computation with the correct procedure. Of course the procedure is correct. You have full access to all the material supporting the course. The PowerPoint, the audio-video recording, the handwritten notes of your colleagues of previous years. You can have your textbook, you can have other kind of material you can download from internet. You can have all of these when doing the exercise, at the exam. So what's the point in doing the correct procedure? It's stupid, it's obvious. The point is to make a correct calculation. So it is a numerical exercise. You must give the good numbers. If the numbers are wrong, is no excuse that the procedure was correct. That is obvious for everyone. Oh, then if one also makes the wrong procedure, he's really stupid. It's not a matter of having studied more or less. It's a matter of being stupid because we have full access to all material, and not selecting the proper formula is a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of having studied a lot. At the beginning of the course, I told you, there is no need to study. Of course, there is no need to study in the moment in which you have full access to all the material. Using your memory is not important in this course. What is important is to have understood. To have understood the physical behavior of sound, to have understood the definition of the quantity, to have understood the proper measurement unit for each quantity, and the cause-effect relationship. When we have this framework, you don't need to study because you have all your material accessible. But if you did not understand, there is no way to pick up the good formula from the material, because for you, all those formulas are written in Greek. You are not understanding anything of your printed material. You must understand. That's the point. And understanding is a matter of intelligence. I am sad of that. Not of you are intelligent the same way. For some of you, this exam is very easy. For some of you, it's very hard. Because you cannot, in this course, cover your lack of intelligence by studying more. There is no point. If you are stupid, you can study as much as you want. It will be always very difficult to pass this part of the exam. Well, then there is the theory. For the theoretical part, studying helps. But for the exercise, studying helps very little. The only thing which helps is making exercise. Making exercise of which you don't know the correct procedure for solution and you don't know the correct result. Because this is what you have to train for. At the exam, you will not know the exam procedure and we will not know already in advance the correct result. Okay? So you need to train downloading from the internet this kind of previous exam text and solve them at home. Usually the exam is with exercises which are similar to those you find in previous examination. So if you have trained to solve them, there are good chances you will be able to solve also the problem at your exam. Okay, now that the framework is there, let me solve our problem. We have a source which is over, above the floor, above the ground, by a certain height, width, which our number is 1.2 meters. At a distance, in horizontal, an horizontal distance of 10 plus a, that means 11 in this case, meter, you have the receiver. And the receiver is above the ground at an height of, what is that? C plus 5. C is 5, no, 5 plus 3 makes 8 meters. Okay? What is asked to you is the total sound pressure level given by the sum of the direct sound plus the reflected sound, making the computation in three different ways. The first hypothesis is the incoherent summation. So you assume that the reflected sound has become incoherent from the direct sound. So you make a summation of reflected and direct, which is made with the incoherent decibel summation formula. Then you need also to assume the case in which you have coherent summation, and in this case you consider the case that the two direct and reflected are perfectly in phase, or the case in which the two are perfectly out of phase, so they cancel maximally each other. Now, this kind of problem is very easy to solve using Excel. But today we are not using Excel because it was allowed to use the computer and Excel for the examination until it is still allowed, until Christmas. But starting with January, the new rule for the next academic year apply, so you will not be able anymore to bring your computer in the classroom during the examination. You can only use a handheld calculator. So what we are doing now is to solve the problem using the calculator of Windows and just writing here the solution. Okay? So, we define first the height of the source, zeta s, and we call it 1 plus b 1.2 meters. Then we define the distance. The distance is 11 meter. And then we have the zeta receiver, which is 8 meters. These are the input data. Then we know the sound power level, LW, of our source, 100 plus D, 104 dB. Okay? Those are the input data. Then we have the calculation of the, let's call it, the calculation of the direct sound. So, we use the formula now, insert formula. Where is that? Shapes, links, header, footer, text. This new version of Office is terrible because in the previous one I have it here. More commands. Insert formula. Where is the equation? Insert new equation. Insert equation. This one. Okay. Why is not working? Why? No. Not working, I don't know why. Let me try the other. Sorry, but this new, this one. New open spelling, it's more commands. Popular command, insert. Insert new equation. Okay. Still gray. I don't understand why this should be difficult to insert. Number symbol. Someone of you know how to insert a formula in this new version of Office. Object. Okay. Microsoft equation. Okay, it was hard, but here we are, inserting the formula. So, LP dir. The direct level is LW minus 11 minus 20 times multiply the logarithm of R, which is the distance, okay? But we don't know the distance. The point is that the distance has to be computed, and the distance is a diagonal distance. So before computing this one, let me compute R. R is the square root, Pythagoras theorem, of the horizontal distance d squared plus the difference between the height of the source zeta s minus zeta r raised to 2. Okay. That's the distance. R square root of the horizontal distance plus the difference between the vertical distance. Let's substitute the numbers at this point. So the distance in horizontal is 11. The vertical source 8 is 1.2. The receiver 8 is 8. Okay, we now open the calculator, okay, and make this computation. So we have the open square root is not here, no, here, but the square root of zero, so open this one. 11 squared plus, open again, 1.2 minus 6 close squared, close square root. Square root of the square of 11 plus the square of 1.2 minus 8 is the same formula as here. The result is 12.93. I can copy the result, go here, and paste. Okay, we don't need all those decimals, of course. When we keep two decimals, it's probably... No. Two are too small, let me keep three decimals, which is the millimeter. These are meters. We can keep the millimeter. Okay, and this is in meters, of course. The result is in meters. Now we know R, we know the power level, which was 104, so we can compute the direct sound. 104 minus 11 minus 20 multiply the logarithm of 12 9.32. Okay, equal, we came back to our computation, so this was already 12.93. We make the decimal logarithm. Attention, this is the decimal logarithm. Then we have also the natural logarithm, ln. You don't have to use the natural logarithm. In acoustics, the logarithm is always decimal. So the decimal logarithm is 1.11 multiply 20, 22.2. Now we change the sign, okay. We subtract 11 and we add 104. 70.6. 7.6. Okay, and those are decibels. Okay? So, we have already a good point here. We computed the direct sound. Now, when we compute the reflected sound, you must think that there is another source under the ground, which is called the mirror source. So, in practice, if there was a source there, and the direct sound was this one, this was the direct sound going from the source through the receiver along this line, there is another source called S1, the image source, which will be here. Which will be here, more or less. One moment. Okay. This will be here in the specular position under the ground, specular corresponding to the real source. You see, the real is here, and the image is here. Let me mark it in yellow. Okay. This is called S1, the image source, and the image source give a reflected sound which is doing this path from the source to the receiver. A longer path. You see that this is longer. If the one here was called R, this path here was called R, this longer path here will be called R first, the image or reflected path. R first is longer than R. So, as we computed everything for the direct sound, we can compute everything again in a very similar way for the reflected sound. This will not be anymore R, but it will be R first. The Pythagoras theorem now apply to a vertical distance which is not anymore the difference between the height of the source and the height of the receiver, but it will be the sum of the height of the receiver plus the height of the source, which is now below the ground, is the image source. So here we have to write zeta s plus zeta r. So it will be 1.2 plus 8. And we now make the calculation, and we have open, we are here, 11 squared plus open, 1.2 plus 8 closed squared, closed square root. Okay, 14.34. This is the new distance. Okay, in meters is longer because the reflected path is longer than the direct path. This is the reason for which the phase rotates, because make a longer path takes a longer time, and so the phase rotates due to the longer travel time. So now the pressure reflected level, LP ref reflected, will be LW minus 11 minus 20 times the logarithm of r first, which will mean inserting here 14.34, and so we compute a new reflected level, which will be, this is the distance, we make the logarithm, multiply by 20, change the sign, plus 104. Total 69.87. And here we are, and we computed correctly the direct sound and the reflected sound. Now we have the two contributions of the sound field of the receiver, direct and reflected. We can make the different summation according to the three different ways in which I am asked to give the answer. First one is the incoherent summation. So, okay, sorry. Incoherent summation means L P dot incoherent equal the incoherent sum formula 10 times the logarithm of 10 rise to the first level L1 divide 10 plus 10 rise to the fraction L2 divided 10. In this case L1 and L2 are the direct and reflected levels. So we repeat the formula with the numbers. The first number is 70.76. The second number is 69.87, okay? Which in the end is equal, is equal to, let me get the calculator and make the summation. So we have, let me start from the parentheses. 10 rise to 7.076 plus 10 rise to a power of 6.987 closed logarithm per 10 73.34. Okay, and this is the first answer, the total power with incoherent summation. Now we need to make the coherent summation in phase, so the two will still sum, but with a rule which will be coherent summation. So in this case the formula changes, because we are not summing anymore the energy, we are summing the pressure. So we will have 20 times the logarithm of 10 rise to L1 slash 20 plus 10 times 10 rise to the power of L2 slash 20. There is 20 instead of 10 when you sum pressure instead of power. You remember power is proportional to the square of pressure. So we substitute everything here. Okay. Now the formula is correct. We just need to compute the result with the Windows calculator. So again, we start from the parentheses, open bracket, 10 rise to 7076 divided 20, closed, plus 10 rise to 69.87 slash 20, closed again, logarithm plus 20, multiply by 20, 70.77. Something is wrong, because it should be larger. It should be larger than this one. In fact, this is just the first. What was wrong? Make it again. Sorry. 10 elevato al... Perhaps I forgot a parenthesis. Aperta. 7076 diviso 20 chiusa più 10 elevato alla 69.87 diviso 20 chiusa no, logaritmo No. Ok. Da capo. 10 elevato a 80.76 diviso 20 più 10 elevato a 69.87 diviso 20 chiusa. Ci manca il 10, porca. Niente. Non vuol venire. 10 elevato. Non è che qualcuno di voi ha la calcolatrice. 10 elevato aperto. 70.76 diviso 20 chiusa più 10. Elevato alla 69.87 diviso 20 chiusa. Ok, uguale. No, ma perché? Ma porco cane. 10 elevato alla, è che non lo prende, adesso ho capito. Allora, 10 elevato alla, quanto ti è venuto? Questo è credibile, 3 di B in più, però ci devo riuscire. 10 elevato alla aperta 70.76 diviso 20 chiusa più 10 elevato alla sì, 69.87 diviso 20 chiusa. È questa seconda chiusa che gli fa venire un valore. Boh, logarit 1 per 20 o 76,35 76.35, torna, grande, faticosissimo, cioè farli qua alla lavagna con sto coso è un casino. Vabbè, this is the coherent sum, now coherent in phase, so they are summing, now coherent out of phase, so subtracting, it means, let me call first, this means that this plus becomes a minus, because the reflected sound is now opposite side, opposite phase, so reversed polarity, than the signal of the direct sound. So they will not sum, they will subtract. So in this case, here we write minus, and the result will be smaller than the direct sound only, because the reflected sound will destroy partially the direct sound. Let me see if I have understood how to use. In the meanwhile, you make it by hand. So, open. Then, rise to open. 70.76 diviso 20, chiusa. Meno. Then, rise to 69.87/20, close again, logarit per 20, 50.53 is correct, so it cancelled quite significantly, because the two levels were almost the same, they very very close each other, so when they go opposite phase they cancel a lot. What does those means in terms of frequency response? In terms of frequency response, it means that there will be frequency where the two sum each other. There will be frequency where the two cancel each other. And in the general case, there will be partially in phase, partially out of phase. So the spectrum will be quite complex. Let me try to draw it here. Okay. White dashboard screen. So in practice, if this is frequency and this is the sound pressure level at the receiver, LP, if this is the direct sound, LDIR, LPDIR, in the case of incoherent summation, you just increase at every frequency with almost the same spectrum and a value which is just 3 decibel more. So LP tot in this case is just 3 decibel more at every frequency, because the summation is incoherent, and an incoherent summation gives you almost 3 decibel more due to the reflection over the ground. But when the summation is coherent, what happens instead is that at certain frequency it will be 6 decibel more. Then you have a notch. Then the level goes up again 6 decibel more. Then you have a notch, and so on along the frequency axis. With this notch, at certain frequency, unfortunate frequency, where we have the reflected sound, which has a delay which equals exactly half the wavelength, half the period in time. So if the delay is half the period, the reflected sound is out of phase, and the level here was 50 more or less. Okay? So the level now is much smaller. Here it was 70, 73, 76. So in perfect phase summation, you get 6 decibels more instead of 3. But there are some frequencies where they go out of phase and they cancel each other. Okay? It's clear what's happening. So the problem was very simple. Just a bunch of stupid formula was all you did need for resolving the problem and making the points for the examination. You see, just 7 formulas were required. Now, I was very slow in making this exercise. But when you are writing on a piece of paper with a good Handel calculator, and you are training to use the calculator so you type quickly without making error, I can assure you that it takes less than 2 minutes to solve this problem. And instead, you have 1 hour for solving 2 problems. So, we could say half an hour for the first exercise, half an hour for the second one, which is also very simple, not so quick this one, but still quite simple. So in practice you see that making this exam in 1 hour is nothing impossible, but you need to use the correct formulas, and that is obvious. You need to make correct calculation, and that is not that obvious. Myself, I did make it wrong several times, you have seen. So the difficulty is not for me that the student use the correct formula. I give this as given, is obvious. The difficulty under exam, with the pressure, the risk of making it wrong, and all your colleagues which are disturbing you most of the time, asking you if the formula is the correct one. Of course, they cannot ask you if the result is the same, because the result is the different. So they will only disturb you asking if the formula is the correct one, which is obvious. The formula is the correct one. The problem is, let me give time and pace of mind, peace of mind, so I can make the computation correct. That's the difficulty under the exam. The help of your colleague is probably not an help. It's damaging you, because you need to be very calm for making your computation correct without typing error. The formula, of course, is that one. All the class are using the same formula. So it's stupid to ask to the colleague, is the formula this one? Yes, of course, it's that one. Confronting with your colleague on which formula to use is absolutely of no value. In fact, I am not so severe during the examination about formula or tables or similar things. You can ask your printout from the colleague, it's not a problem. Because my concept is that all those materials should be available for all of you. It is better if every one of you carries his own material without needing to ask a table to your colleague. Because this causes confusion and you are actually disturbing your colleague. It's better if you have all your material, but if you don't have one chart or one table, you can actually ask to your colleague, because it is not that the point of the exam. The point is to make the correct calculation and to write down the correct number in this rectangle area here. If you give me back this examination sheet with numbers which are written here, which are the wrong one, no way, you don't pass the exam. And you don't have to ask for excusation, but I did use this formula or that other, I assumed that. I am not worried about what you did assume. You just give me the right number and you pass the exam. If the number are wrong, you don't pass the exam. Nevertheless, you don't give back only this sheet. You also give back the sheet where you made the calculation. You must prove that you did those calculations yourself. Okay? So you cannot just write the result keeping everything on the calculator. You need to write the formula as I did. So first the formula with symbols, then the formula with numbers, then the result. This is what I want you give me. On a separate piece of paper, which is those squared paper with the Aiding University of Parma, which is given you together with this sheet. So you get two sheets of paper. One is this one, and the other is where you write your answer. And you have to give me back both of the sheet, all with your name, matricula, and so on. You give me back at the end of the exam. I check that the number are correct, and that this number comes from your computation sheet. Okay? This is the check. If you give me these two things, the formula with the result, and the result is copied correctly on the examination sheet, then you are done, and the written part of the exam is passed. Any question about this? Okay, now we stop, then we try to make, after the break, other two exercises going more quicker. Okay?